Thank you for joining us for the second segment of Episode 8. In the first segment of this episode, Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen shared practical handles on tackling operational matters around the transition to primary school. The next major topic to touch on is financial matters. How do we prepare our children to make wise and sound financial choices without us being physically present with them? Gary and Chinfen, what tips do you have for us today?
Maybe I'll start on this first. Money matters. It's important and yet very challenging topic indeed. I think it's because kids at their age really don't get an accurate sense on the value of money, right? All the more so in our developed society, depending on the vocation of the parents, our kids don't always understand what it takes to earn the wage. So I think it's important to go back to what the Bible says and the godly principles. Right? They are not too young at their age to be taught about, in my family, I believe in most family, right? About tithing, sowing. Because what you sow, you shall surely reap.
Hallelujah.
And overall faithfulness to what God has given us. I think that's so important. That's the first thing
first.
Then, of course, we will use the Bible stories to share with our kids about what tithing's all about, what sowing's all about, you know, what are money that's mentioned in the Bible. Talk to them about it. So we'll teach them about why we tithe and that they will tithe out of their pocket money daily too. Of course, kids will say, huh, still much tithe? I don't have enough. So that's important to bring them back to the Bible stories and the godly principle. When you tithe, God will open up heaven's window and pour forth more than you can receive. You know, the blessings. So it's important to let them understand the godly principles when it comes to this.
And it's about honoring God, right? That they understand that, hey, the 10% is about honoring God. It's about giving back to God what He has first given to us, right? And that the rest will be sanctified. That they will get the godly wisdom that is required to multiply and stretch the rest of the money as well.
Well put.
So we'll teach them how to split their pocket money. You know, what is used for savings, what is used for their daily purchases. And of course, the tithing and giving. And we take stock with them at certain timelines. Usually once a week, we would naturally come back to them and say, okay, you know, this is how much you save. And when it comes to the school holidays, you can take out a certain portion to buy things that you like. So that's something that we practice at home. So we have also heard of how parents introduce earning of money through sporadic car washes. I think we do, at least in my household, right? I'll get my son to wash the car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because he likes to buy his toys. So we'll tell him, like, you know, you can.
Get some pocket money on the side.
You can speed up the process of wanting to get your allowance. So by washing the car, he gets an X amount. And then with the X amount, right, same thing, same principle. What goes into tithing, what's saving, and what can be used.
Wow, so good.
And I think we deliberately introduced this because it's quite tiring to wash a car.
It is.
So just to make them go through the process that earning that $2-3 it's not that easy.
Teaching them a value, right?
Yes, that's the value of money. It's not so much about, you know,
not child labor,
though. It's not that you need their help because chances are they will probably not do that great a job.
And it's also not that we don't buy toys for them. I mean, it's just that, you know, they get that chance to
Teach
them something, right?
Yeah,
that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Can I bring my car over to you?
Of course. If you don't mind a half-washed one.
So we will have conversation with them to understand how they have been spending money and use this opportunity to guide them on the value of money. So coming back. So depending on the school culture in this society that we are in, I must say that there's a full spectrum of how much parents can give to their children.
We're talking about allowances here, right?
Allowances.
Right.
So we want to call out that they are still very young. It is our role to teach them to be wise and prudent and know how to manage money carefully. I mean, we have heard about parents giving their child $50 a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's...
Or just lump sum, basically, right? A week, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
And depending on how generous they are, the amount can be quite high.
Wow. So,
I mean, it's all subjective, I think.
For context,
noodle in school is what, $2?
$2,
maybe at max $2.50.
And you go to school five times a week.
Exactly,
And
so you give the child $50.
Yes.
Wow.
So, I mean, not we give what we have heard of parents giving.
Not talking about you guys, but
our children come back and say, how come mama...
Compare.
Yes. Yeah. And we talk a little bit about that in the next episode where there are certain deeper conversations we need to have our kids, but they do compare. And they could spend the money freely, and then they
exactly
would just think,
they are free to get like purchases at a bookstore daily. Yeah. Erasers? Imagine you can buy like 10 erasers.
A box of erasers,
oh, wow.
Bring to your remembrance, pastor.
Oh, it does, man.
I mean, I hear from our kids, right, that their friends freely treat them. Not just them. It could be like sometimes quite a number of friends to food.
Wow.
Yeah.
They treat their friends to food.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think that for us, it's not so much about... It's a good thing, right? To be generous.
Yeah. Yes.
But yet at the same time, we personally do struggle because then we tell them that, hey, it's okay that if you want to treat and once in a while you take it out of your savings, but not at your parents', you know, sort of allowance on a weekly basis, you just go about spending freely. Yeah. Because if that's the case, then you don't... You're not using yours.
Right.
You're not being accountable to the money. You're just spending money that you have not earned yourself to buy things
and
not have any limits.
Them
to exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. 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 I think that's a good call. It's very not that good. We are hard parents, but we are really teaching them the value of money.
Correct.
Yeah. 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 So it's important to teach them not to make comparison.
Wow.
And to be thankful. We are all provided for differently and our worth doesn't come from allowance.
So good.
Yeah. So we think it's okay to give them a sense of how much is decent to spend on each break. And how would the kids have a sense if we don't teach them unless we are prepared for them to learn from their friends?
So for example, I mean, kids like to go to bookstore and buy pens. Mm. As we go through conversations with them, sometimes we'll show them, hey, this exact pen that you talked about, this is like maybe double the price, for example. Mm. And so then they learn to make comparisons and they will know how to better spend their money. I think it makes sense for us to guide them along and have such conversations with them.
Yeah, so good.
So that, they can manage what is theirs.
So it's not like at first sight, I want it, I buy it. Mm.
So over and over, I'm hearing you say this, you're teaching them value, how to appreciate value.
Yeah.
Because when you appreciate the value of simple things in life,
exactly.
That's such a learning experience, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. Yeah. And I must say that I think, you know, we're both full-time working parents.
Yeah.
So it does take deliberate effort to have such conversations with them. So, you know, Christy, you called out earlier, just talking to them about their choices of food and all that. Sometimes you can't wait until end of the week, right? You just have to, when you go back, you could just ask them simply, what did you have today? And just find out and be curious about things.
I like that word, be curious. It's not about like... loading the condemnation. Ah, you bought this.
Oh, yes. or maybe, for example, if they don't want to tell you, like they are just tired that day, you cannot keep facilitating
them.
And please don't have this conversation with them every single day. What do you buy for lunch?
Sometimes it's just, you bought this, really? Oh, wow. Okay. Was that good?
But it's just having conversations and being curious about how they make decisions and then using that as a teaching and learning opportunity. If there is, right? But it's not like loading condemnation on them. It's not like always checking in on like, what are you doing with the money? What are you doing?
Yes.
Yeah, so good.
One last point I thought to bring it up. Some school actually introduced the digital payment right now.
Oh, I see.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so they have actually tied up with certain banks, right? And then they'll be given a watch.
I see.
And you can actually preload the values in the watch. So that they can go to school and just make payment using the digital watch for payment. So I think it's important to keep track and to bring and speak with your child. Have that consistent and constant conversation with them so that you're able to track and manage their spending.
We struggle with that, actually, to be honest. We had much preferred and as a result, we opted to still give them cash. Thankfully, the school still gave the alternative.
I understand.
Because we thought it's pretty much like a credit card, right?
Yeah.
You just tap the card and then you don't really bother about how much you're spending. Yeah. So if we should opt for that option, I think we'll have many more conversations on a much more regular basis to debrief.
Well, I remember, you know, in you sharing all these things, that it was in primary school that I myself was introduced to the concept of saving. Because I wanted, again, to buy a new pencil or eraser. As I grew older, I started wanting to buy my favorite storybooks. I was desperate to get those books and I would save all my allowance and sometimes not eat well and to do so. Once again, parental input is so important. My parents learning about this didn't increase my allowances to or go out there and buy me the items I wanted. Instead, they packed me sandwiches from home. That's not a great outcome for me, but but they wanted me to eat something well and they noticed that I was not doing that. It was their way of teaching me the importance of value. I did learn quickly that things come at a cost, again, the importance of value, that savings take time but pays off in the end, and the all-important virtue of patience, that all good things come to those who wait. It's a good time to talk about the concept of value right now, making the best use of your allowances that are given and teaching them about tithing and saving. This is the best time to do it when they are much younger.
Yeah.
The impartation of value really truly allows children to own their decisions.
Mm.
The idea of ownership is an important one as it imparts the valuable lesson of putting one's best into the things that are really of good value. And what they value, they will work at and look after and treasure.
Mm.
I've seen that even in my own life. Parents have complained that their children sometimes take things for granted. The impartation of value in owning a decision they make would teach the children much about responsibility.
Yeah.
And it is a lesson that follows them through their schooling years.
Yeah.
It was this first teaching on understanding value that even taught me how to value the things of God in my later years. Wow.
So good. I really love what we're saying, you know, like with this topic on financial matters, right? We are really talking about what do we want our children to learn, right? Through money. It's not about the love of money. It's not about the amount of money, but it's about the lessons that can come out, you know, the lessons about like portioning, right? How much do I portion for God? How much do I portion for my savings, for future purchases? How much do I spend today, right? It's also about the value of patience, the learning of patience that Pastor rightly pointed out. What do we want our children to learn? This is so important. The Bible also says, right, in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also.
That's
so
right.
I think as parents, it's really not about overemphasizing, oh, I give you so much money, you need to account for every single dollar. It's not, right? Like parents, where do our hearts lie? Gary and Chinfen shared, Proverbs 22:6, train up your child in the way they should go so that when they are older, they do not depart from it. And this is really what we are talking about in this area, you know, understanding the biblical principle of honoring God with what we have and then teaching them accountability and the value of money. So next up, we want to move on to classroom dynamics and engagement. Wow, classroom dynamics and engagement. Let's think about the classrooms today.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one teacher to about 38 to maybe 42 students, right?
That's
it's still the same, right?
That's right.
It's going to be a really huge classroom.
Yes.
In kindergarten, it's a lot smaller. One to 20 maybe? Or is it one to...
Maybe less than that.
2 to 20.
Right?
2 to 20. Yeah. So they're going from 2 to 20 to 1 to 40. So this will be a really huge jump, you know, for a lot of children, depending on where they come from, especially if they're going to be homeschooled.
Right.
I think the environment will be so different, right? So let's talk about this area, classroom dynamics and engagement.
It's a big topic, actually. I think we had many conversations with our children about this. So just calling out that depending on the background of the preschool, I mean, if they would have been used to it, I think the transition will be relatively easy. But, you know, there are different schools of thought. And sometimes if you're in a Montessori, for example, you could be very used to being in an environment where, you know, you can get to choose what you want to do. And then you can do that for quite a number of hours according to your liking. And the class group size could be also a lot smaller. So I think when it comes to classroom dynamics, the key thing that we want to emphasize and we have learned is that it is helpful to teach and also at the same time empathize with our kids what they have to manage. We may think that, you know, you just roll with it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, go into the class. After a couple of weeks, you will get adjusted. But at the same time, thinking back about a couple of conversations we've had our kids, I'll give you an example. Our son came back, and he's generally an extrovert, but he came back one day and over a couple of weeks actually shared with us that he found it very disturbing in his own words. He found that he was not able to focus because there are random behaviours, for example, of his classmates whom he likes a lot. But there are classmates who, for example, not used to the back-to-back. So imagine again, right? They used to have a lot of breaks. They have snack breaks. But now they start school from 7:30 to 1:30 with two breaks in between.
Wow.
And that's all they get. So back-to-back lessons. As a result, that some students are not able to manage sitting down for a prolonged period of time, they will start walking about in the middle of the class, crushing paper, throwing, for example. Yes, or maybe they could be really listening, but they will click their pants or they will just pull, you know, fidget around.
Yeah.
And there are all these fidget toys, right, that kids bring to school. So he was actually quite disturbed by the level of noise. And it depends on the teachers if they are able to manage. For stricter teachers, that's great. but not every teacher is as strict. Mm. And it became such a big affair for him that he actually told us, "Mama, I start disliking school."
Wow. Mm.
So we literally had to get involved and just ask him, "Hey, are you able to tell your teacher, for example, or this person who's disturbing you, are you able to say no? Can you manage that?" Mm. And over time, we found an opportunity to talk with the teachers and inquire what's going on, because we hear that for maybe a particular subject topic, the classroom seems to be out of control.
Mm.
So this feedback are important, but at the same time, I think we cannot rob away of the opportunity for them to learn to tell the teachers and the friends themselves and not jump in, right?
Yep.
Very, very protective parents, myself guilty of that. We always feel like we want to jump in and try to find out, this girl sounds like she's quite mean to you. Who is this girl? I need to find out, right? Let me check out her picture on the parent chat group.
Is this the one?
Exactly, right. So I think we need
to talk to her parent.
It's very, very tricky. I think this will be a time for us to really teach them, coach them, talk with them and say, what did you do about it? What else do you think you can do about it? How can you give voice to it? Who can you talk to about it?
So
because classroom sizes are getting bigger, there's just a lot more distraction.
Mm.
They need to be able to cope with it. They need to find their own avenue to be able to de-stress.
Yeah.
And also getting to this point, parents, what we've realized is that when our kids come back after a long day, you really might see, and I think Pastor, you talked about that as well, right? Like our kids, the minute they walk through the door, they just leave their bags and they just prop down onto the sofa.
Yeah.
And they just needed to like lie there for a while, right? If you ask them any questions, they'll just give you, all good, you know, and that's
it. Why does that sound so familiar?
But, you know, we're so enthusiastic. We want to find out what's happening.
Correct.
Tell me what happened in school today. Anything interesting? Anything funny? You're just bombarding them with a lot of questions, but really empathize with them.
Right.
They are much more tired and adjusting to the hours than they are used to. So they're not really little adults who are used to 8 hours or more of
that's
work.
Right.
Let's just give them that opportunity to unwind, relax, play, and just be themselves.
Can I just say that this applies to adults too?
Of course, can you imagine
if you just came back home from a long day at work?
Oh, it's true.
And then you get bombarded by like all sorts of questions about your day. Yeah, sure, I appreciate your excitement to share my day with me, but
it's
can you just give me some space?
It's true. And I think husbands get a lot of that because I feel sometimes I'm a bit guilty. Like, hey, you're home, let me tell you what happened.
The wives are the excited
ones. Exactly.
And then husband's like, I just had a very challenging day. give me some space.
Yeah, and they don't get a chance to talk. That's very important call out for everyone in the household.
Yeah.
Husbands, wives, and kids. A chance to de-stress and talk about what gone on in their days. So we just wanted to call out because we've heard of parents who feel the need to plan and schedule their time. P1, right? Suddenly half a day is all free.
Mm.
So they feel the need to fill up their time slots with, this is what you do when you reach home and then you go to bathe and then after that you have your meal and after that sit down and revise a little bit of your English, do a couple of worksheets. Whilst routine is good, but do give a bit of that buffer and space.
Yeah.
I think it's also a good time to teach them around classroom management, help them to understand why the teachers do what they do sometimes in terms of, you know, having to call out certain discipline, why people need to stay seated, why is it that you need to raise your hands to speak.
Mm.
Help them to also respect the authority figures because that's biblical, right?
Mm.
I mean, we honor our bosses, our leaders, and the government and the teachers. And I guess last but not least, I think in terms of engagement within the classroom and dynamics, it's important to teach them, help them to be friendly, choose friends with good character, talk through with them who are the friends. And when they say, this is really like, this guy is really fun, ask why. How can you choose your friends? Is it just about being popular? Is it just about being loud? And if, you know, there are certain areas where they feel uncomfortable, teach them also how to give voice to it.
Mm.
I think it's important to be able to pray with them, teach them to trust God for godly kingdom friends, and they can take ownership of it in this era.
Yeah.
So all that to do with a little bit of how to manage that classroom, their space in the classroom.
Yeah.
What I hear from you, Chin Fen, is honestly, it's what you're sharing is teaching your children resilience.
So good.
Classroom got noise, how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
How do you take ownership of this whole space called friendship? You're teaching them resilience in so many different ways. Not trying to fix their problem, but talking them through it and getting them to think outside differently and how they can manage it. and, you know, bring restoration to it in their own ways. And my goodness, these are valuable life lessons you're teaching
yes.
the kids, even as they enter primary yeah. school, right? Yeah.
It's like the problems that we face at work too.
Is that right?
Bring exactly. it back and then exactly. we pray about it.
You
yes.
well said that's exactly what it is. But it didn't start off yesterday. It started off years ago yes. for all of us, right? And that's why we bring the parents here today anyway, right? To train up the child in the way he should go, right? And so when he's old, he shall not depart,
depart from it.
I love this whole concept of friendship because, hey, here we go. Welcome to the wonderful world of friends. See, this is where your child will learn about friendships and develop connections that can steer him or her in the years to come. See, one of the things my wife, Rachel, and I would make it a point to pray over our children each and every day before they leave for school.
Yep.
That the Lord will surround them with good friends. That the friends will be of good influence over them and impart good values to our children. We also pray that the Lord will keep negative influences far from our children. Only the Lord can be with our children in school. Is that right? When we have no sight over them. And I love what you said just now, Chinfen. You said that you were even teaching your children to pray for good friends.
Yeah. Mm.
And in so doing, again, not only are you teaching them resilience, you're teaching them ownership. We've said these words over and yes. over again. And these are key words when we are parenting. But you know what? We don't leave anything to chance. We make sure we pray over them as
yes.
well
yes.
before they go to school. Mm. We know this, that we won't be there in the class with them.
Yeah. Mm.
Only the Lord can be with our children Amen. In school. Is that right?
Amen.
Because He has sight over them and we have no yeah. sight of them. And yeah. only He can prosper the relationships that will bless yeah. them while removing from them the connections that will steer them in the wrong paths. And we've realized that our kids are getting older. This whole concept of friendships
yes.
is so vitally important. You know, they start even in nursery, kindergarten. When it comes to primary school, it's 6 years of being together. Mm. This is where they really get connected. And how their views, opinions, thoughts of their friends matter so much, right? It doesn't get easier. It gets a little deeper, steeper, and it goes to secondary school.
Yes.
That's when friendships are everything. Their friends are more right than their parents.
Mm.
Been through that. And, you know, it's a difficult conversation, but here is where parents cannot lose that friendship with their children.
Yeah.
On the first day of school, you know, Rachel and I, we even pray that the Lord will seat our children next to good classmates. Wow. It's so wonderful to know that we have the Holy Spirit with us and with our children. He can supernaturally parent our children even while they're in school. The best part of all this is that parents, we can pray about anything and know that the Lord will answer no matter how simple our prayer request is. Praying for your children is such a blessed ritual. Can't overemphasize this. Over the years, we have even prayed and seen the result of bullies in class turning out to be our children's best friends. I mean, what is impossible with our God?
Yeah.
We've seen our children receive favor from their classmates, even in the most negative of circumstances. Favor with their teachers, even when they know that they did something wrong and they were caught. And great favor, just a turning around of things.
Yeah.
Because the Lord put them in the right place in the right time and He came to the rescue and we prayed, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
That they choose friends that we are glad they are associated with, even today.
Mm.
As they talk to us about how these friends have been a good influence over them and they continue to be friends for the long haul. And I know this is the result of prayer.
Mm. That's so precious.
When you know that the Lord does indeed answer your prayers, there will be nothing that you will not put before your Abba Father. And see Him turn things around. We constantly remind ourselves that He is our Emmanuel, our God
Amen.
With us.
Yep.
And our God who is with our children. Amen. Yep.
Amen. Amen.
Love this. And I really love that we're talking about prayer. I think we talk about the transition from kindergarten to primary school, right? And this topic of friends. So probably our children will be asking like, you know, are my friends going with me?
Yeah.
Things like that. And it's so good to involve them in praying, right? To involve them in asking God for favor, in asking God for good friends. And in asking God, you know, to help them deal with things that are uncomfortable to them.
Yes.
You know, distracting to them. Mm-hmm. And so I really love what Chinfen and Gary were saying earlier, right? About like the classrooms and all the distractions in there and how we can teach them to cope with it. Like apart from prayer, I think there's also something else that we could do. We could teach them to pray in tongues, right? Like we could remind them about what they have learned church, right? And the praying in tongues will bring the shalom peace that they need. You know, the peace within.
Absolutely.
And the peace without will come.
Amen.
Right? So I think it's so beautiful that we really get to talk to them about this area that affects or impacts them so directly because the classroom is something that they feel with their entire body. Like, so right. We need to talk about this area with them and to find out what they're struggling with and teach them and help them to cope with it.
And I'm like so glad that our Rock Kids teaches our children, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And get them, you know, even started on this, and our young kids are even praying in the Spirit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even at a very early age.
Exactly.
I'm so, so glad that that's what we do in church.
Yeah. And this is such a powerful tool that they can bring with them when things without them are things that they cannot control. Mm. Don't dare to tell the teachers, don't know what to do about their friends who are distracting them, can't focus. Mm. Yeah, it honestly reminds me of a period of time when I had to face an open concept office. I was struggling because I couldn't focus. My colleagues were right beside me and I didn't have enough space for myself. I needed a lot of space. I was struggling so bad and I really needed time. So I can totally understand if a child needs time, you know, to understand their space because they're so young. How do they even have that resilience to do that, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so I love that we can equip them with the tools to be resilient in this environment. Right, so lastly, let's move on to success factors in school.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, success factors, guys. Oh, we've talked about redefining success according to God's word.
Talking about really big topics today.
Yeah, exactly, right?
So I hope you're still with us there. This is all good for you. This is all for you. Come on. We're doing this because we want you to be prosperous and be successful.
Amen.
Exactly. So as your children, right?
Yeah,
just as you are, right?
Amen. Yes. And precisely this topic, right? Success factors in school. Is it about acing spelling quizzes, doing all the homework, bringing all the things to school? You know, like making sure that you don't forget anything. Like what exactly are the success factors in school? Let's talk about them.
But this is a really big one. So intentionally, we called it success factors and not academics because I think everybody would just hone in on the PSLE and the spellings and tests.
PSLE meaning the primary school leaving examination.
I love that.
Yes, that's right. So you might feel like, what is success factors in school? Haven't we been talking about all success factors in school? I think this was intended to cover a little bit around the academics, honestly, and maybe CCAs, if there are some parents who
basically
are
curious. Basically what goes on the paper at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe the like sort of formal evaluation in the eyes of the school system. On the topic of success factors, we feel like it is a tricky one because I think everyone has got different expectations.
Yeah.
You will have different appetites and your children will have different bent. I think the key thing that we wanted to call out, we have a primary school leaving
examination kit
this year and another one in P4. It's important to not let anxiety set in unnecessarily. Mm. It already starts before school, but when you enter into the school and you go for orientation and the chat group gets formed and then thereafter you've been subjected to many pings and reminders yourselves or people asking around about tuition, enrichment classes and all that. I think as parents, it first starts with you, right? And we've got multiple episodes that we have talked about the definition of success in God's perspectives and also the role that parents take in setting the example and in role modeling.
Mm.
So it is important for us to guard our hearts and also remind us that the kids are here in this primary school, not for what will come in 6 years' time, but that these 6 years are very precious time for them to develop at their own pace.
Yeah.
For them to be able to discover their strengths, discover areas that they can grow in, and be able to orientate, build friends, and also habits.
Wow.
So it's just something that we really hope that, you know, we can let it sit for a while. Yes, the outcome is important. The performance of it is important. But the 6 years is to build the habits, the mindsets, the
so
confidence,
good. So good.
The identity in Christ
success,
that will
it?
Get you to the point of success.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we wanted to call out that rather than talking about how to do, we can't teach how to do project work and homework or spellings and quizzes and how to ace them. We just wanted to call out that I think it's helpful to talk with your kids about the value of this. So rather than, hey, have you practiced your spelling and things here today? Or, oh, you have got project work. What are you aiming for?
Yeah.
I think it will be a nice conversation to have and say, why are you doing project work? What is this project work all about? What sort of difficulties have you encountered in doing project work? And then they will start telling you, oh, my friend did not contribute. Or, oh, no, I don't know how to do this. And I feel so lousy. I don't know how to do PowerPoint.
Mm.
While my friends are so good with PowerPoints, right? So that value of them getting involved in project work, spelling quizzes, talking about timetables, backpacking. It is why are they doing this? Because in the process, they are learning to be diligent. They are learning to contribute. They are learning to negotiate. They are learning to take the lead, how to give and take, how to understand for themselves what are the areas that they have not been able to pick up in class. So it's about their learning, not about their performing. I know you will say that, come on, let's be realistic. Let's get practical. But yeah, isn't that a bit too early in P1, P2, P3, P4 to start thinking about all of this and just taking away that love for learning? Yeah. Because today we struggle, right? I mean, the society struggles a lot with people who are just about the doing and not the being and not understanding the why.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we thought that this is something for us to call out because it's really, you know, Gary and myself are taking a lot of time to go through this with our kids as well. I mean, I think the last point about the CCA for...
it's co-curricular activities.
It's co-curricular, so
so it used to be extracurricular.
Yeah, it used to be extracurricular.
I mean, the terms have changed.
Core curricular.
Yes. Yeah, so success factors. I mean, I think that we had our eyes opened a little. I mean, back in our years, which was not too long ago. you know, CCAs used to be more of what you really and you don't know and then you can go to the school and learn. I think today, maybe with the abundance of resources, it has been somewhat different. There are certain popular sports in schools you may find.
Co-curricular activities are sports, right?
Sports or...
Other activities that are not necessarily associated with studying. Yeah.
That's right. Not the worksheets. Exactly. Yeah.
Got it.
Which, you know, in some schools, I mean, I think you have an option to get involved or not get involved, but you might be familiar with this term, direct school admission, which is DSA for short.
The DSA, which we use it very loosely. Yeah.
Yes, very loosely. And that there are many parents who are thinking about DSA even before their kids have gone into primary school. Right. Just because, you know, it's getting competitive and people don't think about academics as the only way to get in, but maybe potentially DSA. Well, it's helpful for you to understand what this space is about. But we have heard many parents locking their children into certain sports or certain arts or certain music and making sure that they put in the hours to qualify to get into a good branded primary school and to be selected for the CCA just so that they get a chance to DSA to a secondary school. At the end of the day, it is still about the bend of the child. Whilst your child may be good, maybe the child does not want to be locked in for the next 10 years doing the same thing and being monitored from a performance point of view. So just something for us to call out.
The child just enjoys the sport and loves it for the sport's sake.
Exactly,
right?
Yes. Yeah. So not everything you love, you need to be measured for it, right?
It becomes performance-based. Yeah. And the child may not like it. They're at such a young age. We should allow them to really like the sports, appreciate it, and enjoy the sport. Rather than, you know, being performance-based.
I understand.
It's the same as learning, right? You want them to enjoy learning. Yeah. You want them to enjoy, like, acquiring knowledge and how things work. Yes. We don't want them to be learning for the sake of being tested.
Correct. Yes.
So I think on this note, we do feel like it's worthwhile to encourage your child to try out different things. Before primary school, in primary school itself, if you have opportunity, there will be some programs that support that. Go try out, and if they should like something, they can develop at their own pace. And we believe with all our heart that if God is the one who gives the giftings, there will be so much desire, so much anointing, so much will to want to do it. Wow. They will prosper and they will get picked up. They will have the opportunity to develop and all resources will come their way. So if your child is really doing well in that area and they get picked up for an opportunity to DSA, that's great. But do compare this with that deliberate mindset of trying them out even before they get into primary school. Make them go for all the classes so that they get selected for the CCA so that they can get a chance to DSA. I mean, just myself calling this out sounds a bit tedious to me.
It's not just the DSA. I mean, we also have heard about parents preparing their child for what we call the term GEP, Gifted Education Program. Just to ace that program so that the child can go to a particular school and take up for that program. I think it's so stressful for the child.
That's too much pressure on the child.
Yes, I think it robs them of the passion to want to learn.
Correct. They want to learn for the sake of learning. The whys behind the learning.
Yes.
This is what I keep hearing from the both of you here. Yeah. It's about the value of learning. It's the value of the sport.
Yeah.
It's coming back to, you know, to answering that question. Not performing again. It's about learning.
It's about learning. It's about God working into them what He will for them to do.
Yeah. So
yes. So we have heard of people who have not gone for GEP classes, enrichment classes, but have gotten into GEP. We have heard of people who have gone for multiple enrichment classes for GEP and never get selected. So I think at the end of the day, parents, we love our children, but I think God really, really loves our children. God fearfully and wonderfully made them with their unique set of giftings and His calling and His plans. And then we need to be the first ones to retreat back and rest in this knowing that He will make it happen no matter what. Mm. Whether or not we are able, whether or not we have the resources, if that is His plan, His plans will prevail and it will happen.
Amen.
So it is not for us to hustle and bustle and just try to make things happen that causes all the anxiety to set in.
Yes.
So yeah, back to success factors. Again, we say it's a tricky one, not to offend anyone out there. Every parent have a different set of expectations, but let us retreat back into this space and hear and restfully preparing for primary school. Hear what God has for them and take one step at a time.
Mm.
Not 6 years in advance. Just one step at a time every year and then let the Lord open the door, let the Lord lead and let the Lord just work in that willingness and the desire within our kids, not ourselves.
Oh.
In our kids to be wanting that, to desire that, to own that, to pray for that, to be successful in that. Mm. I think that can be so much more restful and powerful.
Yeah. Mm.
We're coming back over and over again to this whole idea why we're doing this podcast in the first place. To restfully prepare for primary school, right? And it's what you just shared just now, Chin Fen and Gary, was so powerful. We have a God who's with us.
Amen.
We have a God who thinks a whole lot more than us concerning our own, the children He gave us.
Yes. Amen.
A God who knows that nothing stops Him from prospering their child and His plans and purposes will work regardless of what we think and how we think it. The point here is how to get from point A to point B restfully. And I really feel that restfully here means coming back and developing a strong prayer life, for example.
Mm.
I think there's nothing more restful than prayer. Don't you think so, Christy?
Yes.
I feel that my wife especially has just honed this. I said earlier that we've always been praying for our kids concerning their friendships.
Mm.
We constantly pray every single day. I hear Rachel praying this over their kids before they leave for school. First of all, be surrounded by good friends, good influence, that God will just keep you in the right place, right time, and connect you with the right persons. And the other thing is, she always prays is about their success. That she would always say is that, Lord, just give our children a desire to learn.
Mm, amen.
Not to perform.
Yeah.
Not to ace, to learn.
Yeah.
Because learning is the key.
Mm.
I know parents of kids who ace exams, but you ask them a while later, what did you learn? They'll say, I have no idea what I learned.
Mm. And they don't enjoy it.
And they don't enjoy it. Yeah. They got an A, but they come out, they're angry, frustrated. Yeah. They take it on their parents because they feel that they've been pushed, rushed, pressured, stressed.
Yeah.
And of course, what happens when that happens is frustrations develop.
Yeah.
And it develops, it causes a very poor relationship to form between parent and child, which is definitely not something God wants.
Yeah.
God wants that friendship between parents and children to be a strong one. That relationship cannot be destroyed because of a piece of paper or what we get at the end of 6 years.
Amen.
That relationship will go through life. God is into the long term. He's not interested in a 100-meter dash. He's interested in winning the marathon, which is 42 kilometers. It's not 100 meters, right? So I love it because I hear Rachel saying, Lord, drop into a children wisdom, clarity that they need for their subjects. Mm. Give them the ability to learn, the wanting to learn. Help them, Lord. And although they still struggle sometimes, we notice that the Lord has come through for them so many times. If we parents don't lose hope and we believe what we pray, it's called restfully bringing and preparing our children for primary school. In fact, we've come to realize that the Lord is never late. Sometimes he can be last minute and he, you know, sort of tests our patience, but it's all good. We've witnessed so many times through the years, for example, how he has worked in accelerated work, turned a hate for a subject to a love for it, turned disappointments to joy. There are just far too many stories to recount. But trust me that we have experienced God in our children's studies. After all, he is the one who created that subject or language. in the first place. And again, we keep on coming back to this as our favorite verse at Matthew's household. Jeremiah 29:11, which he says, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you.
Amen.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Mm. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So really put a demand on God and let's see Him bring it to pass.
Yeah.
Amen.
He will not fail.
Amen.
Yes, Pastor. And that's all the time we have for today. So can you just close us with one thing that's on your heart? We've shared a lot today, Pastor. Just one thing that's on your heart for today's episode.
There's so many things on my heart. I don't know how to do this, but you've shared so many things. Garen Chinfen, thanks for sharing your heart today. We've touched on some key things that will make our children going to primary school a lot more easier if we catch it. Perhaps you may feel overwhelmed and perhaps maybe wondering, how will you accomplish all of this? Maybe you even have more than one child in school, in primary school. So let me just say this, our part is not to overwhelm you. Amen. You cannot accomplish all these things. My goodness, after a whole podcast you say this. I mean, what we say is the truth.
Yes.
You can only do what is the most needful thing in front of you. Again, as I'm reminded what Chinfen says, prepare for each day. Just be prepared for each day. Go into each day as it comes, right?
Yeah.
So I love this because that's the way of God. Do the most needful thing in front of you as directed by the Spirit. Trust your God to accomplish the rest as we put our preparation in His hands and more importantly, our children into His hands. He's truly, fully engaged in raising our children because He gave them to us in the first place. Is that right? That's a constant reminder for me. I'm reminded right here about the words of Jesus to Mary when Martha was busy preparing the many things. Jesus said, one thing is needful and Mary has chosen the good part. And Mary, as you know, was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, drawing from Him. You know, parents, that's where we need to be. Go back to the heart of the cross. Remember your identity as a child of God. And remember the purpose for the season. It's not about preparing perfectly, ensuring that your child does everything beautifully without a hitch. It's not about crossing every T and dotting every I. This is a proverbial expression to mean that we must not leave any stone unturned. We must do everything that we can within the power of our hands to do it. And we will succeed.
We must be over-prepared.
We must be over-prepared. No, I don't believe crossing every T and dotting every I. I believe it's about putting the I, that is you and your child, back to the T, which is the cross.
Amen.
Nice.
It's really about believing and not more doing.
Amen.
It's a season to learn for you, for your child, and also for us parents.
Yes.
It is okay to learn from the mistakes made. As parents, Rachel and I have made many mistakes with each one of our four children. One would think that we would have learned to do things better after each one. No. And perhaps even after our second one, we'd have learned. No, we didn't. But we are just so glad that our good God does not make mistakes.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Despite what we do. And He's truly a good, good Father.
Amen.
Be at rest, parents. Don't let your hearts be overwhelmed by the do's and don'ts. A parent whose heart is at rest, speaks rest, and goes about things restfully. This in turn cascades rest and brings shalom to your children and to your family. That wasn't just one thing. That was many things. But I think the one thing would be, let's come back to rest. Amen?
Yes. It's so good, Pastor. I'm sure the parents agree with me. You know that this entire episode has been chock full of practical and spiritual wisdom. You know, we really don't just want to equip you with practical things to do, parents. We want to equip your hearts with the spiritual wisdom and the spiritual know-how that God has for us. We hope our walkthrough has been helpful in lending some insights to kickstart your preparations with your children. Parents, this learning journey that our children are on is for a lifetime. So let's endeavor to equip them with the more important things of life. Values like resilience, trustworthiness, patience, confidence, taking the lead, giving and taking, ownership, accountability, independence, just to name a few. Let's really be about the wise and let's also guard the love of learning for our children.
Amen.
This will accompany them for life.
Amen.
Amen.
This week, can we encourage you to deep dive with the Lord and meditate on Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 and 3. The preparations of the heart belong to men, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Also, we want to encourage you to take time to discuss and draw up a preparation plan with your spouse. Remember to be on the same page. We trust that the Lord will prosper your plans and that you shall enjoy many special moments with your children in the lead up to primary school. Join us again for our next episode where Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen will share about the days to follow after the dust has settled from the initial transition and orientation. Till the next time, be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.